I think this appropriately leads us into story time. So, Hugh, the Eagles are reporting to training camp today.
Yes.
Take us through that day. What was it like for you, you know, each year? What's that feeling? Is it excitement? Is it like I have to go back to school? Like, what's the feeling day one on report day to training camp?
Well, the first thing is when you report to training camp, you bring all the stuff that you need for the whole month. Like, I would bring probably about, like I said, about three different changes of clothes. I'd probably bring my Xbox, something like that. Whatever gaming system that I had, I would go to GNC and get all the supplements that I need to help me, you know, throughout the whole time that I'm there and everything. It's just a real minimalist kind of deal, you know, because you're going to be there. You really don't have to have a whole lot, you know, the essentials, you know, your toothbrush, toothpaste, all the smell goods and whatever, because you're practicing all the time. You're getting ready for the season to start. So that's basically was about it.
So, all right, so training camp, obviously was different when you played. You guys went away, you went to Lehigh. Now these guys, you know, they stay home and whatnot. But so one thing that always happens at training camp, it always seems like every year it starts off, like everyone's happy to be there, right? And then you're practicing, and it's the same people every day, right? You're hitting the same people every day. And
it gets a little intense.
Right, and there's no other team rolling in, at least until the first preseason game, which is like 2 or 3 weeks away. So what happens often, it feels like once a year, is there's like a training camp fight, right? A couple guys on the same team will have a little tussle.
Yeah.
You ever have any of those tussles in camp?
Oh, yeah, man. I had a tussle in camp. I got in a fight in camp with Jumbo Elliott, and I never forget it because we were doing one-on-ones, right? And Jumbo, you know, Jumbo, to me, was the first offensive lineman that was big and started to be cut up. Like, he was the change. Went to Michigan. Was like 6'7", 300-some pounds, but he ain't had no body fat, and Jumbo was huge, right?
Kind of like Lane is now.
Yeah. So we're in practice one day, and we're doing one-on-ones. So Jumbo, he kind of manhandled me a little bit, and I didn't like it. And I remember Marvin Washington, he was my teammate. I used to call him Big Percy because he was real tall. And he was like, he said, "Damn, dog. Just gonna let Jumbo do you like that? He just do you any kind of way, right?" So I got mad. right? So we did one-on-ones again. And so I remember running into Jumbo, and I ran into him as hard as I could, and I picked him up, and he fell on the ground, and I just got on top of him, and I'm just hitting him, and I'm calling him all kinds of names, and I'm hitting him. He was like, "I'm gonna freaking kill you." he's getting up. Like, I'm hitting Jumbo I'm hitting him with a right hook, left hook, and he's still getting up. So Marvin sees this, and Marvin jumps on top of Jumbo. And Jumbo said, "Marvin, if you don't get off of me, I'm going to kill you too." Now, he used colorful language, but for this episode, we got to kind of keep it clean.
It was a fireside chat, yeah.
So I go in the locker room, and I'm like, "Damn, Jumbo about to beat my ass." and I'm sitting there right on my chair, and I was like, "Nah, if he come over here and mess with me, I'm going to hit him with this chair." Like, I'm thinking, like, this is going through my mind. Because I'm telling you, Jumbo, I'm 6'2", Jumbo like 6'7". He's a bit like Jumbo about to work me like a shift. But I'm like, before I go out like that, Jumbo about to be bleeding across his head because I'm going to hit him with this chair. So I'm sitting in my locker, right? So Jumbo walks past, and I'm like, okay, it's about to happen. And Jumbo just kept walking. He just kept walking. And I breathed a sigh of relief. And that was it. Never had another problem out of Jumbo after that. But that was the one training camp fight that I got in that I just knew. I wasn't going out like no punk. But at the same time, I was a little bit concerned about that ass whooping that I was about to take.
Well, if not for that chair and Jumbo having some mercy, he wouldn't be here right now.
I got to say, you got to have stones to mess with a guy whose name is Jumbo.
I know.
No, you know what it was? You know how they say when keeping it real go wrong and somebody puts jumper cables on you? That's what happened. Marvin Washington put the jumper cables on me, and luckily he was there to keep Jumbo from killing me at practice. But yeah, that was it. That was one of the ones I got into.
I like the sound underneath here. It feels like an old fireside chat with FDR.
We were sitting by the campfire.
Yeah, we're sitting around, and he was telling stories.
Yeah, that was probably the absolute worst fight I've gotten into. I got in a fight with Todd Harriman at camp one time.
Who won that?
Todd Harriman.
Yeah,
but that was because I was old and I was tired. But he hit me in the back of the head. He hit me in the back of the head.
Last year, didn't we have one between the Eagles and Colts where there was the...
I think it was the Browns.
There was the Zaire Franklin, the Philly kid, was on the Colts, wasn't he? Him and Kelsey. It might have been last year, the year before. I think it was last year.
That sounds familiar.
I feel like we talked about it. So that would be last year. But all right, so we'll
I don't think they have those anymore, though. Because it's like training, like, unless it's the other team.
With the joint practice.
Yeah, but it's like they don't really do that too much.
Do you think it's because they don't hit anymore?
Yes.
That feels like it's probably that's the consternation. You go to the ground, you hit, you tackle.
I mean,
like
because you always would have, say, some young cats out there that were a little overzealous. They wanted to show that they were ready to play in the NFL, and then you had an old cat. Like, hold up, Rook. And Rook's like, bump you, OG. I'm trying to get mine. You know what I mean? And so that's where it would come from.
Yeah, I get that. All right, 215-592-9494. A little campfire chat there with Hugh as the Eagles report for training camp today. Tom in Middletown. Hey, Tom.
Hey, guys. How are you today?
Good, Tom. What's up?
All right, listen, about the Phillies real quick, I want to get a Phillies point in. Have you ever gone on vacation and when you come back, it takes you about like a week or so to get back into the flow.
Yeah, to get acclimated. Not a week, but like a couple of days.
Yeah,
couple
and
days.
I almost sometimes after vacation, Tom, or if it's more than a day off, I feel tired the day I come back, even though I should be rested. Like, it's just you're all off for a little bit.
Right. I just think the Phillies are just a little off. I'm not worried about them. The bats will start hitting again, and I think we'll be fine. I mean, they had the best record, you know, pre-All-Star break. Maybe they were living on their laurels, you know, partying a little bit too much or whatever, but it's taking them a little bit of time. And we've been on the road, too. So when we come back home, I think there's a little more comfort zone. I think we'll be fine.
Tom, I think they will, too. And then the reality is, too, is this. They had a very, you know, they had a favorable schedule early, and they probably weren't really a 115-win team. So it's kind of coming back to earth a little bit, more to what they are, which is probably, you know, whatever, 103 or 4-win team. So I think they'll be fine, too. But they need to add. I mean, they need to get a bullpen arm and a bat to help them out.
I agree. And real quick on the Eagles before I give you my guess. I am very, very optimistic about this team because of the new coordinators that we have. And our offensive tool belt is stacked. If this offensive coordinator could put together a game plan, I think we could be, you know, a 27-point-plus game team.
Well, they should be. 27 feels like a reasonable number. They were at 24 and change last year. They were over 28 the year before. 27 feels reasonable, yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah, and that's what I'm optimistic about because of the new coordinators. Now, if that bombs out, then phew, I don't know what to think. But I am optimistic because of the new offensive coordinator, new defensive coordinator. I think we could, you know, maybe take some you know, heat off of Nick.
Well, that's the whole idea. I mean, that's why these guys are, especially on the offensive side. Tom, give us your guess of the Olympian. Who are we talking about?
Okay, this is a great curveball that Hugh put in there because the Summer Olympics start on Friday. Mm-hmm. I think this guy was a Winter Olympian. Oh. He was a bobsledder. Herschel Walker.
Herschel
Walker. Oh, that's a good
Walker.
Guess, but no.
That's a great guess. Not it. Now, that would be something Hugh would do. You know, go
bobsled?
No, Winter Olympics.
Oh, you almost made me say something on there. No, I ain't doing no Winter Olympics. For what? No,
No, I didn't mean you would do that. I meant you would do that as the person today to throw everyone off.
Oh, yeah, to throw them off. I thought you meant. I was like, the Olympic, the skiers, though? Uh-huh. I used to like to watch the skiers ski.
It's fun. I mean, we know, again.
The speed skaters. That's what it was.
Skaters.
The speed skaters.
You got the bobsled. You got the skating in the winter. Loons. I prefer the summer, but the winter are fine. I think it's time to give everyone a third clue.
Yeah, we need
here.
A third clue because I'm surprised this has gone as long as it's gone.
I agree. You know, sometimes it's on the tip of people's tongue, but they don't say it. So I'm a little surprised we're still here without
a
winner. But let's see if we can help people out
okay,
here.
Okay, this third clue, do you want me to give them the other two?
Yeah, why don't you roll through them?
Okay, the first clue is he's a famous Olympian. Drafted into the NFL. This third clue should give it away. Nine-time Olympian.
Oh, this isn't nine-time medalist?
Nine-time medalist.
Okay, this isn't some Olympian.
He ain't no slouch.
Okay, this is a big-time Olympian here. Let's go to Tuna in North Philly. What's up, Tuna?
Tuna.
Hey, how you doing?
Good, Tuna. What's up, buddy?
Did you guys hear me?
Yeah,
we got you.
Hey, yeah, it's an acronym. Next time you get in a fight, you need to get with me. I'm a pro boxing trainer. You come to the gym, Hugh. I work with you. Make sure you sit behind the jab, box at an angle. So
yeah, man, but you know, I'm at the age now, man. Hopefully I ain't going to get into two
anymore. No, you know what?
I wouldn't mind doing the boxing workout, though.
I think this is a good bit for the show. Hugh learns to box.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind doing the boxing workout, though.
Yeah. You come to my gym? Yeah, I've been a pro trainer 7 years. I don't work with Bernard, all the top fighters in the city. So.
Oh, yeah, okay.
That's cool.
Yeah. So, you're always welcome to come through.
Appreciate it, man. Appreciate it.
After this call, yes. The Eagles, just use a quick few analogies, Hugh. You know, you're big on the analogies. The problem we have with the Eagles is Jalen is walking around the facility like Beyonce, and he's treating Nick like Michelle.
You talking about Destiny's Child?
Yeah, Destiny's Child, yeah. You know the analogy. And look, Hugh, as far as that press conference tomorrow, Hugh, we're going to use another analogy. If you come in the house and your lady say, Hugh, you never buy me flowers, do she want you to go outside and get some right at that moment?
That's what it feels like.
Nah, she don't want that, Hugh. She wants you to be, you know, in the future. Think about
it. Oh, okay, in the future, natural. Okay. See, because that's that's why I ain't got no girlfriend now. I'll be thinking. I won't be thinking the right way.
Look, you gave a few analogies, and I was like, yeah, that's why you single.
Well,
he must have been listening to Candy Apple's show.
But seriously, you got to do that. You know, we want Jalen to say the right things now. No, we wanted him to say that initially. So like I said, it's like buying the flowers after your lady asked for them. So we're asking Jalen to say the right things when Jalen knows it's a professional, even if he doesn't like that man. You take Larry Bird and Kevin McHale. I never knew these dudes didn't like each other because whenever they were on the court, they had camaraderie and they worked together. So that's what we want Jalen to do.
That's it, common ground. So, that's it. Just find the common ground.
And Tuna, with that, I mean, Walsh and Montana at the end had some issues because Steve Young was there. Brady and Belichick at the end had a lot of issues, but a lot. But, it can be done, but everyone's got to be, you know, they got to respect each other.
Yeah, we're men, so you have to respect each other. That's the common denominator. You have to respect each other as men. You don't have to like each other, but you got to do your job, show camaraderie, and then after that, you can go your separate ways.
Tuna, what Olympian are we talking about today?
I believe it's Ronaldo Skeets Nehemiah.
Fun guess, but not it. Tuna. Now you got the last clue. I mean, really, this is a heavy hitter Olympian. This again, there's been a lot of Olympians over the years.
Yeah,
but this isn't just somebody.
He ain't no slouch.
No, this is this.
It all depends. But then again, it just all depends
on what he's doing.
Yeah, I guess.
But as an Olympian, this person was not a slouch. This was a great Olympian.
No, he wasn't.
That was pretty much hint 3.5.
Yeah, it was. Ken at Cinemitzi. What's up, Ken?
Good afternoon, gentlemen. How are you
doing? What's up, Ken? Yeah.
So, on the Phillies, it's funny to hear people pressing the panic button again. That thing has been mashed a few times this year.
We got ours repaired here, so we have a brand new panic button in case we need it.
Yeah, you're not going to need it. I think the one thing that I'm looking for is just maybe volume of arms in the bullpen. I mean, you guys touched on it yesterday. Ranger got 10 outs in the game one win in Atlanta last year. Rob Thompson is just not going to leave these guys in as long as he normally would in a regular season game. So you just have to have a bunch of guys that you can trust to go get you some outs. So. You know, I'd like to get a bat in here, but I think the priority has to be the bullpen arms. I agree with Ruben Amaro.
Well, the good thing, Ken, with that need is it's the easiest thing to get, right? Every even bad teams, like if you go out, I saw the Cubs yesterday said they're probably going to be sellers. They're not very good. They have three or four arms in their bullpen that, you know, you would take. Maybe they're not your top choice. So, like, if Dave Dombrowski wants to get multiple arms, he could pull that off, I think, without really sweating over the next week.
Yeah. On the Eagles, I just find this whole thing kind of funny because, once upon a time everybody was focused on all of Jalen Hurts' intangibles when he hadn't proven yet that the physical tools were good enough to be a top flight quarterback in the NFL, and now we're back on the intangibles, but now we're worried about the intangibles. It's just the point is it all comes down to how you play on them. So. The biggest difference between the 2023 Eagles and the 2022 Eagles was the turnover differential. The 2022 Eagles had a positive turnover differential. I think they were 8 games into the season, and they had only turned the ball over once. So I'm excited to see if we got some young playmakers in here, especially on the back end, that are actually going to generate turnovers. I told Kyle that if the Eagles' turnover differential looks – this year, like it looked in 2022, they're going to win the Super Bowl. If the quarterback's not turning the ball over 20 times by himself, and they're making plays defensively, and they're creating turnovers, they're going to win the Super Bowl. And that's what I'm most excited to see is, I think just got some better players in here. I mean, they just didn't have enough good players last year. to be good on defense.
Especially in the secondary. I mean, that secondary. Yeah. We were rewatching the ESPN, NFL Network has the playoff game on last year.
No tackling was suspect.
Oh, I mean, they couldn't cover anybody. And to your point on this, Ken, so they were +8 in 2022. And actually, I think before Jalen got hurt, it was even better, and then it kind of suffered towards the end. But +8, and then last year, -10. So it was an 18 turnover swing last season. That's a lot.
Yeah. So, I'm really excited to see what Vic Fangio, I think we make a little bit too much of a fuss over who the coordinator is. You know, they're not putting pads on. I think Vic Fangio said it himself, this notion that a coordinator could come in here and just kind of mix something up to fix your problems if you don't have enough good players is nonsense. But I think they definitely addressed their needs on defense. Look, I at linebacker, I don't think that Kobe Dean's even going to make the team this year.
Mm.
And that says more about the guys that they brought in the offseason than it does about N'Kobe Dean, frankly. That I just don't think there's going to be a spot for him on the team.
There might not be. I think he's on the bubble. Ken, who's the Olympian we're talking about?
Now, I don't know if he ever actually played in the NFL, but I'm almost certain that Carl Lewis was drafted by an NFL team.
And you're correct, he was.
Carl Lewis was drafted by the Dallas Cowboys. Ken, you got it, man. Congratulations. Good job there. So we have to say an hour ago or so, Jerry did work through the Carl Lewis thought, but he didn't actually submit an answer.
He said, it's not Carl Lewis.
He said that those were his words. It's not
Carl
Lewis.
Bad news for you, Jerry.
And he didn't pick up on us not saying a damn thing.
Well, I was kind of waiting for him to say, but that's my best guess. And and then I think you said, are you guessing him? And then it was over.
I wanted to, when Jerry said it's not Carl Lewis, I should have been like,
uh-oh. Uh-oh, it is Carl Lewis, yes. Nine times.
Jerry probably mad at us. No.
I think he's tied for the second most gold medals ever in the Olympics. Carl Lewis was a great Olympian. What do you think about what Ken said there, Hugh, that the Kobe Dean will not make the roster?
I don't believe that to be true. Tremendous amount of respect for Ken, but I think that, you know, he's one of the draft picks. He's one of the guys that Howie went out of his way to kind of praise in this offseason. I don't feel like they give up on him that soon. I think that there's a place for him here. I don't think he's going to get cut if that's what they're saying.
I think he's on the bubble.
You think so?
I do. So here's who's going to be. So here are the inside linebackers. The question is how many inside linebackers they're going to take, right? Is it four?
At least four. I'm thinking probably, but it's a numbers game too.
It isn't, of course.
Well, you got a couple guys that are interchangeable. So I'm going to say they're going to keep four and two swing guys.
Okay, so Devin White is one of them, no question. Jeremiah Trotter Jr. as this year, a draft pick this year, is going to make the team. That's
definitely
two. Zach Bond, who they signed, and he's taken first-team reps, or at least he did at minicamp, that's three. So that to me, means there's one spot left for N'Kobe Dean, Oren Burks, who they signed in free agency, and then the Ben Van Zumeren kid that last year that they drafted and played a little bit towards the end of the season. So I would think he's on the bubble with a high likelihood of making it, but I don't know if it's a lock.
It's funny because I'm thinking, okay, you're probably going to keep four inside, four outside, six D linemen.
If you're going to play a 3-4,
that's what I was thinking. 3-4 designation, maybe seven. Because see, now you got to look at it like this, Joe. 53-man roster. You know, and then you got the practice squad guys. How many guys are you going to dress? I'm thinking it's going to at least be eight offensive linemen.
At least
eight. Three quarterbacks. Like, I need a pen. I need to start writing this down. But, yeah, it's going to be a numbers game. They might carry five linebackers. It all depends on how interchangeable they are.
And could someone go outside if you need in a particular game?
I could see them keeping five, but I don't see N'Kobe Dean being gone. Six corners?
If I had to guess right now today, I would say he's going to make the team. But I don't think it's a lock.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't be shocked if N'Kobe didn't make the team.
How many corners do you think we keep?
Well, that might be their deepest area. That's
going to
be.
Yeah, because I feel like there's going to be. See, the corner thing is going to mess up the defensive lineman number thing.
Or unless Howie trades one of these corners this summer. That wouldn't surprise me.
Man.
He could do that.
Yeah.
All right. 215-592-9494. That's how you hop aboard. Coming up, we'll get to all your phone calls and We'll let you hear it. The Paul George press conference introduced by the Sixers. We'll hear Paul George for the first time as a Sixer next, right here in the Midday Show, Sports Radio 94 WIP.